with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O
Lord. When Jesus had driven out a demon, some of the crowd said, "By the power of Beelzebul, the prince of demons, he drives out demons." Others, to test him, asked for a sign from heaven. But he knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself will be laid waste, and house will fall against house. And if Satan is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that it is by Beelzebul that I drive out demons. If I then drive out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your own people drive them out? Therefore they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man fully armed guards his palace, his possessions are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks and overcomes him, he takes away the armor on which he relied and distributes the spoils. Whoever is not with me is against me. Whoever does not gather with me scatters. When an unclean spirit goes out of someone, it roams through arid regions, searching for rest, but finding none, it says, 'I shall return to my home from which I came.' But upon returning, it finds it swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and brings back seven other spirits more wicked than itself, who move in and dwell there. And the last condition of that man is worse than the first." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today, on this feast of Our Lady of the Rosary, it's an important time for us to ponder not just our relationship with Our Lady, which we have a chance to do often, but how to pray the Rosary ever better. The Rosary, as St. Thomas Aquinas said, is a compendium of the Gospel. It summarizes everything that is taught in the Gospel. The Rosary is meant to be a chain that links us to Our Lady, so that we can, as John Paul II would say, relive her mystery in Christ. We climb in a sense, not just to her womb, but her contemplative heart, and look at her Son through those eyes of love. And it is a liturgy of life. It's a means by which we can keep our contemplative union with the Lord alive, just as Mary did, by looking not just at the mystery of her Son's life, but the mystery of our life with that contemplative gaze. And so, today, let's look at the Rosary, the compendium of Revelation, from the perspective of the portions of Revelation we have. Let's also look at it from within the perspective of this extraordinary Jubilee of Mercy, which is meant to influence everything we do throughout this ecclesiastical holy year. What can we learn about praying the Rosary better from today's first reading from the letter to the Galatians? St. Paul is talking about this contrast between living, thinking that you're saved by the law, and living in such a way that you're living by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave his life up for us. The point is, many times the way that we pray the Rosary can be utterly faithless. It can be just so routinized that we don't even ponder what we're doing. It's a religious practice that we're doing, which we know is good, but it's no longer what it's meant to be. Something that brings us into the heart of the mysteries of Christ in a way that changes the mystery of our own life. So St. Paul would be urging us, as he urged those in the past, not just to do good actions. And the ritual observance of the Mosaic Law was a series of good actions. Don't just do them thinking that the very practice itself has the power to save, but to do it with faith. And there's a way that we pray the rosary with faith. There's a way that we pray the rosary just as a practice. To pray with faith means to pray with receptivity. To pray with faith means that we not only believe in what happened in the mystery, but how that mystery means to recur in us. St. John Paul II, when he gave us that beautiful exhortation in the Rosary 14 years ago, said, when we contemplate those joyful mysteries, how can we not be swept up in Mary's contemplative gaze as she held her son in Bethlehem? When we ponder the mysteries of light, how can they not help us not only to grasp the Beatitudes, but live them better? When we ponder the sorrowful mysteries, how can't we be moved with greater compassion for all those who are still dragging along the way of their cross? When we ponder Christ in glory and Mary with them, how can that not stoke our desires for God's kingdom to come and to come urgently? To pray with faith means to pray in such a way that we recognize that those mysteries we ponder are actualized. What's today's gospel about, looked at from within the perspective of this faith? I've always had a special love for this gospel because 18 years ago it was the first gospel I ever had the chance to proclaim, the day after my diaconal ordination, which I'll celebrate tomorrow. But it's not an easy gospel to preach. You know, some people in my family said how prophetic it was that the first time you preached about the devil. Preached about what the devil seeks to do and all the rest, but here it is. But there are a couple lessons. First huge lesson is the great divide between Jesus and the devil in action. Is Jesus constantly trying to unite, and the devil is constantly trying to divide. Jesus prayed during the Last Supper that we might be one, just like the three persons of the Trinity are one. And that the devil's great action is to rend asunder, first marriage, as we see with Adam and Eve in the beginning, but rend asunder the church. He seeks to divide. And so, Jesus wants us to make a choice. He says very forcefully at the end of responding to the accusation that he was casting out the devil by the power of the devil, whoever is not with me is against me. Whoever does not gather with me scatters. It's got to be one of the other or the other. One of the greatest acts of faith in my life, small little thing, was first human faith, but then divine. I was translating live Pope Francis's first homily for the world when he went to the Sistine Chapel the day after his recollection, and EWTN wanted to have somebody from Alabama, whose Italian was far worse than mine, translate. And I regularly translated live the homilies of popes when I was there. Normally, those translations, you have a written copy of it, so you're just listening to the ways that the pope might depart from it. But the pope was going, as you know, a braccio. It was a part of his homily in which he said that the one... Chi non prega Dio prega al diavolo. That the one who isn't praying to God is praying to the devil. And as I heard those words, I looked at Bob Royal, the brother of Monsignor Royal, whose mom we buried yesterday. I looked at him, and he knows Italian, and just like, did he just say what he said? As I paused for a second. First, is an act of faith that I was going to translate it because the word pregar in Portuguese means something else. It means preach. He who doesn't pray to the devil, pray to Christ, prays to the devil. But then I started to ask myself, is that really true? Is it an either or? Could you be praying to yourself sometimes, for example? Like the Pharisee in the gospel who was really praying to himself. But it came back precisely to this gospel, that Jesus does give us a choice, either to gather with him or to scatter. There's no middle ground. And if we're not making the conscious choice, particularly for us as Christians, to gather with Christ, we are de facto scattering. Because a Christian who's not gathering is a scandal. Somebody who's not living with the Lord. What does that have to do with the rosary? The way that we pray the rosary is meant to be a great prayer of gathering, which we enter into Mary's maternal love for all those whom her son entrusted to her at the foot of the cross. We begin to pray for all those that we know and love. We begin to pray for those who are distant from the Lord. We begin to pray for those who are under the power of Beelzebul, the prince of demons. It's meant to be a great chain of love linking us to everyone else. At the end of today's gospel, Jesus gives us another lesson that can help us in the prayer of the rosary. He describes that when the devil is expunged from someone, the devil hates it. So the devil's going to try to come back. He's going to try to come back with greater force. And we need to be ready for it. Yesterday, Jesus continued his lessons about prayer. And after he had taught us how to relate to the Father and seek the Father's glorification, hallowed be your name, seek the Father's kingdom, seek the Father's will, trust in his providence to give us every day what we need, to protect us and to forgive us, after we've done that, Jesus gives us a beautiful lesson about perseverance. Knocking until the neighbor finally opens the door, inspiring us to continue to pray to him who is good, to give himself to us together with what we ask for. But the reason why God doesn't give us immediately what we ask for is because he wants us to learn through persevering prayer how to persevere in life. And if there's any prayer in which we need the grace of perseverance, it's the prayer of the rosary. There are times in which we don't feel like praying the rosary, which we can't concentrate. That's why praying the rosary is so important. It's got a structure. It teaches us how to start and to keep going, even if we're struggling. And it helps us to learn how to persevere in life. When we've received a good confession, when the grace of God has been restored totally to our soul and fully, when our soul resembles the soul in the day of baptism, the devil hates it. In my own life and in the life of so many of the penitents who have come to me, I've seen the lesson over and over again, where when we begin to feel totally in a right relationship with the Lord, it's bang, the temptation will come, because the devil wants to discourage us right then if we begin to think that we're strong. So many commit sins that they'd never even think about, that most judgmental thoughts of all can happen even in times of prayer, even in times of spiritual reading. Because the devil hates it when we're doing something like that. That's why we need to learn how to persevere. And the rosary is this type of prayer in which we unite ourselves with the one who constantly, that happens to Sister Talitha every single time, to the one who's constantly stomping on the head of the devil. Constantly. And wishes to do so with us when we enter into her heart through this great gift. In this year of mercy, I would urge you to pray the rosary in a way differently than any way that you've prayed it up until now. Every one of these 20 mysteries of the rosary can and ought to be examined from the prism of the mercy shown there. Just do one little superficial gloss. In the Annunciation, you will name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. in the Visitation, Mary's extraordinary Magnificat. His mercy from generation to generation to those who fear him. In the Nativity, we behold Mary holding mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. In the Presentation, our participation with Mary in Jesus' saving work, that your own heart a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many might be revealed. In the finding of the child Jesus in the temple, we see how Jesus obsesses about doing his Father's will, and we're not similarly obsessed. But likewise, we see the extraordinary dread when someone even wholly loses Jesus, even for an instant. And we learn how to search for him with abandon, non-stop, whenever he's not centered. In the luminous mysteries, Jesus' baptism, we see the Father of Mercy's extraordinary love, not only for him, but for us. We see the source of the forgiveness of sins. The wedding feast of Cana, we see the way that Mary continuously intercedes for us before we might even know we need her son's mercy, just like she interceded for that couple before they recognized they had a crisis on their hands. In the proclamation of the kingdom and the call to conversion, it's rather obvious. The gift of conversion is given to us by the Lord precisely so that we can enter into the kingdom that the King of Kings leads. The Transfiguration, that great witness, that great gift of the Father's voice, telling us to listen to the Lord, because holiness is obedience. And we need not just to hear the Lord's words, but to put them into practice. The Eucharist was instituted for the remission of sins, as Jesus himself would effectuate when he gave his body and blood on the following day. All of the sorrowful mysteries very readily show us just how much the Lord was willing to do in order to extend to us his mercy. It's all a sign of the extraordinary depth of his merciful love. But it also shows us the secret to persevere in his mercy, to say as he does in the agony, "Not my will, but thine be done." To be willing to be purified by the various ways we may be scourged in life by circumstances. To carry our cross together with the Lord, which isn't so much a sign of pain, but a sign of the love that makes that much pain bearable. And we need to carry that cross of mercy. And sometimes extending this merciful love won't be pleasant, but we do it together with the Lord. We enter into his own prayer on the cross, in which Jesus first prayed for us when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," and then offered paradise to one who cried out for mercy, that good thief. Finally, in the glorious mysteries, we see the triumph of God's mercy. First, in his resurrection. Second, in his ascension, as he goes to the Father's right hand, where he intercedes for us, that we might receive the full fruits of the reconciliation that is our resurrection in life. We ponder the outpouring of the Holy Spirit sent among us for the forgiveness of sins. See, Mary assumed body and soul into heaven as the witness of the triumph over sin and what sin leads to, death. And then finally, in the coronation, we ponder the mystery of how for Mary to reign is to serve, and that she continues to reign constantly by seeking to serve us with that mission of mercy. She came to Guadalupe in 1531, "I am your mother of mercy." And she came to Lourdes in 1858. Not only did she pass on the message of penance and how to pray the rosary better with Saint Bernadette, but as St. John Paul II described when he went there for the 125th anniversary, the Virgin without sin prays for us sinners so that we might live without sin. Then in Fatima, the 100th anniversary of which we'll celebrate next year, after she had taught the Pastorinus how to pray the rosary aright. She asked them to pray for the conversion of sinners, to pray that we might not receive the Lord's gift of mercy in vain. The whole rosary is that summary of God's mercy. But the last point I want to make is when John Paul II was giving us that beautiful exhortation on the mysteries of the rosary, he said that he was giving us the luminous mysteries precisely so that we might fill in some of the gaps in the life of Christ, pondering them with Mary's contemplative heart. So there's nothing wrong, sisters, in taking from the gospel other mysteries and looking at them through Mary's gaze. One of the things I do as I pray the rosary, I'll pray the four different sets of the mysteries once a week, but the other 3 days, I've made lots of other mysteries of what happens in the gospel so that I can look at the entirety of the gospel from Mary's perspective. And I've got two, because there are so many episodes of the Lord's mercy in the gospel, two whole sets of mysteries right about how Jesus mercified the world. And to look at them with Mary's eyes is so much richer. When we look at his engagement with the Samaritan woman, the woman caught in adultery, the woman in Simon the Pharisee's house. When we look at his healing of the paralyzed man. When we look at his forgiving Matthew. All of these are means by which we're able to enter more deeply through this compendium, praying the mysteries of the rosary, but adding to the mystery of the Lord's life and constantly asking Mary, as we ponder those mysteries, to pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Today, as we come forward to the Mass, we turn to her and ask her to pray for us, that we might really receive the blessed fruit of her womb as he wishes to be received, as mercy incarnate. In so many Catholic churches, there's a reason why in the stained glass series around the church, there are the mysteries of the rosary depicted. Because the rosary is meant to lead us right here. And the rosary we pray is meant to flow from here. Today on this feast of Our Lady, let us ask her to help us to enter into this mystery, the fifth luminous mystery, and relive her mystery in Christ. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.